Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. It's a historic week in Cleveland, Ohio, as the RNC convention is well underway and is going to wrap up tonight. In fact, Mr. Donald J. Trump will be giving his acceptance speech as he is the Republicans' nominee for president and will be on the fall ballot. And the determination will be between Donald J. Trump and Hillary Rodham Clinton this November. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and we're broadcasting here in Convention City, Cleveland, Ohio. We're glad that you've joined us, and of course, it's been an exciting week already. Many special guests have been here in the city of Cleveland. In fact, over 50,000 have come in for the RNC convention, and they're In fact, some of the delegations are staying, being housed out in Sandusky, as far away as Sandusky, far south is Canton, and points east as well. Every hotel room seems to be booked with the RNC convention. Of course, the delegates have come in from all 50 states, and with them a number of congressional members, members of the U.S. Senate. Former Senator Bob Dole, who himself was on the ballot in 1996 as he faced off against Bill Clinton for the second term. Bill Clinton did win that election, but Bob Dole is a senior statesman of the Republican Party, a World War II veteran, still able to get around and be present at these proceedings at the convention downtown in Cleveland. He was recognized the other night. In fact, he basically admonished some of the other contenders who lost during the primary, namely Jeb Bush and some of the others who are not coming. In fact, our own Governor John Kasich has not made an appearance at the RNC convention in Cleveland at Quicken Loans Arena. The good governor, for whatever reason, has not shown up, and it doesn't look as if he's going to do that. That really a lot of people are very dissatisfied with that decision by Governor Kasich not to come to the convention that's right here in his home state of Ohio, the big Buckeye state. In fact, this historic Republican convention, it's the first major political convention that that Ohio has held since 1936. And in fact, the last time that a convention was held, it was a Republican convention, and it was right here in the city of Cleveland. So it's been that long that the state of Ohio has held a major political convention of either Democrat or Republican. This time it's the Republicans that have come to the Democratic County of Cuyahoga County, and they're doing very well. In fact, you know, a lot of people had angst and some concern of what the security would be around the convention. Of course, those of you that tune into this program and follow the Ohio Christian Alliance on Facebook and Twitter and our home website of ohioca.org, the Ohio Christian Alliance website, you know that we have turned to heaven, that we have prayed for these proceedings. We prayed for the city of Cleveland. We prayed for peace, and the Lord has heard our prayers. You know, there are police from all over the country that were sworn in, and there's troopers here from South Carolina and Pennsylvania and all over the country that have come in to help the city of Cleveland's police force to basically keep the peace, as it were. As there are protests, and we do champion the First Amendment, there are those who disagree with us. If you're a conservative and they're going to express their views, then we wouldn't have it any other way. The First Amendment is for free speech, whether you agree with that speech or not. And we, of course, receive and enjoy our First Amendment rights of religious liberty. So as we would not want our own liberties to be infringed upon, so we want others to be able to freely exercise that in a peaceable manner, of course, and it so far has done just that. And so I think the city of Cleveland, in fact, many of the attendees that I've talked to, and I was down there on Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday night, of course, tonight I'm going to be there. And with that, of course, we've talked to a lot of people who come in from all across the country who are enjoying themselves, saying, you know what, you folks have done real well. We're enjoying Cleveland. We're enjoying Northeast Ohio, and everybody's been very nice. You know, in fact, I've seen teams of people praying with police officers, gathering in circles for prayer and high-fiving the police officers and shaking their hands and waving to them. And, of course, from all over the city of Cleveland, people are taking in the sights and sounds that Cleveland has to offer. And it really is a great city, and the weather's been beautiful, and people have just been enjoying themselves. So the Lord has heard our prayers. We did pray to the Prince of Peace that he would grant us peace during these proceedings of the RNC convention. Well, let's talk about the convention here for a few minutes, and I'll give you an update. And again, it was my privilege to attend also some meetings last week in Cleveland, and we had a number of guests who have come in for that. The platform committee, the Republican Party platform, of course, convened, and there was some question and concern whether they would adopt some very liberal language of basically a redefinition of marriage. Well, I can tell you and here to report tonight that of 112 members of the platform committee, a solid block of 100 voters voted to affirm traditional marriage, the pro-life position. In fact, they adopted the language that we were suggesting, defund Planned Parenthood. And so praise God, they our good friend Mark Harrington of Created Equal and some of the other pro-life leaders, we were working on that. As you know, we had press conferences around the state of Ohio and one right in front of Quicken Loans Arena a few weeks ago, urging the platform committee to adopt language that would defund Planned Parenthood, and they did just that. They went further to support Israel, in fact, to say that the court needs to be changed and change back the SCOTUS decision on homosexual marriage. The platform is the most conservative, solid, constitutional Republican Party platform ever devised by the party, and in fact, they're calling it the Tony Perkins platform. Of Tony Perkins, of course, is the director of the Family Research Council. He's been serving on the platform for about a decade and a half. So, well, what that means is social conservatives, evangelicals, had a big part in devising the party platform, so we're very happy about that. Number of speakers that have come through and spoken on the platform this week, and it's been great. I mean, we've had Dr. Ben Carson, we've had Ted Cruz, there has been Chris Christie gave a great speech, also Giuliani, Mayor Giuliani spoke, and I think on Tuesday night was one of the most really impressive speeches by Marcus Luttrell, the sole survivor of from the movie and the book, the veteran who talked about really national security in our country, and that was very moving. There wasn't a dry eye in the House. That, coupled with one of the surviving, one of the fallen members of Benghazi, one of the moms, the grieving mom, spoke, and she just really touched a nerve with folks in a very emotional night, very power, you know, just a real charge of emotion. But I think the message got out of where we're at. Well, with us on the phone is our good friend Jerry Corsi. And Jerry, of course, is an author and lecturer, and he's been no stranger to this program, and he's calling from the convention side. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Chris, and I apologize for being a little bit late. It's tough to get a good space. You have to walk so far in the convention hall to get a space where the cell phones work. So,
well, no, I'm glad you joined us. This has been a great week. Tell us your thoughts and impressions of the convention.
Well, I think it's been a very, very strong convention, and I thought last night was superb. I mean, watching the roll call and having Donald Trump's son with New York put over the top the number of delegates needed for him to be the official GOP presidential nominee. What a great, you know, what a great moment for son and father to have that happen. It's like it's the first real family convention that you know, I've ever experienced. And if the Trump family is functioning as a family, and you're beginning to really, you know, get a feel for the Trump. I've known Donald Trump for like 40 years, and I can tell you, Donald Trump is the real deal. He's a brilliant guy, and he's a very caring human being. And I think you begin to see that reflected in his children.
Well, that's right. In fact, Tiffany Trump last night, his daughter, she really, a lot of is being made about her comments and the way that she portrayed her father. I think that was wonderful.
Well, and she also, Tiffany also, you could see that, you know, she's not comfortable speaking. It was a little scary for her. But yet she, I thought, did a great job talking about her dad, and she, the affection that came through on the national stage could not have been faked. I mean, that emotion was just genuine, and I think it touched a lot of people.
It really did. In fact, what we're seeing in the reports today is that Tiffany basically has humanized her father to the convention. And, you know, some people on the front side of this were questioning whether it was wise to have so many family members speaking at the convention. I think it's actually a home run. I think it's actually helping define the candidate. And that's what, you know, if you go back 4 years ago, you know, the thing about Mr. Romney is he was not a newcomer to the process, but Hillary Clinton got a chance to define him before he got a chance to define himself. Here, well, in this this convention, you have the family members are defining Donald Trump, and from a personalized, you know, perspective of as a family man, and I think it's winning.
Well, that's a very important point, is that Donald Trump is defining himself. The way he's defining himself is, you know, you watch each of his children, and you say, you know, if a man who could produce children who have this affection for their father, I mean, you know, with their father for all this time, talking about being in the boardrooms and seeing construction sites, and, you know, and they are obviously committed to him. That's the impression. Even before the nation sees Donald Trump give an acceptance speech, it's the family that has defined Donald Trump, and that's very powerful.
Well, it really is. And, of course, tonight we're going to hear from his running mate, Governor Mike Pence is going to take the stage, and of course, the like you said last night, the votes were counted. New York put him up over the top, which was symbolic, of course. His son then gave a speech. Donald, is it Donald Trump Jr., actually?
Yeah,
he gave a powerful speech last night, very commanding presence. But tonight will be Mike Pence will take center stage, the vice presidential pick. This is an important speech tonight, don't you think?
Yes, and I've always liked Mike Pence over the years. I mean, I have been in Washington. 10 years ago, a group from Indiana came to me, and we went to Mike Pence to ask him to run for president. I mean, when an agent gets to know Mike Pence, he's very solid. He's going to give a stabilizing influence. Very brilliant speaker. But, you know, he's low-key, and I think he's going to be very powerful because he's had a tremendous record in Indiana. You know, the economic success of Indiana compared to Barack Obama's fake economic recovery is dramatic. The ability to reduce regulations, to have fewer laws, stimulate business, all the things that Mike Pence has done, I think will resonate with the nation. I think the nation's going to like his demeanor. I mean, you know, he's low-key, but very solid. I mean, he's got the white hair and the, you know, the Midwestern look about him and his honest way of speaking. I think Mike Pence is going to make a dramatic impact on the nation tonight and begin recasting everybody's idea that this is a very strong ticket.
Well, that's right. And he's well-spoken. He had a radio program. He doesn't mince words. He actually speaks very well and very directly. He's been a strong conservative over the years and has championed conservative causes. So I think, for instance, speaking for evangelicals, I think it's a home run that the Trump campaign put Mike Pence on the ticket. I was getting rumors of other suggestions. Some were okay, and others were just, I didn't think we're going to bring anything to the ticket. No names, please. But I think Mike Pence is a Midwestern governor. He's a conservative. He's a Christian, evangelical. I think there's a lot of pluses in adding him to the ticket, and I think that they've made a very wise choice in picking Mike Pence of Indiana.
Well, and I want to emphasize, too, the strong Christian life that he's lived. And, you know Mike Pence. I know Mike Pence personally. And he has been faithful to his wife. He's raised his children, the family man first. I think his faith is probably paramount in his life, and the motivation for what he does derives from his belief in God. I've watched him over the years, and I believe it. Compared to the Clintons, I wrote this book of the Sound of Partners in Crime, and the Clintons being con artist grifters with the Clinton Foundation, stealing millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars from people, giving the money for charity, disaster. The earthquake victims don't get the money. The Clintons get the money. Crime. It's enormous. Well, Mike Pence has always done only honest things. It would never occur to him to run a Clinton Foundation scam. The difference is going to be night and day between a true Christian like Mike Pence and the grifters who are the Clintons.
Well, there's so much that is going on here, and this convention is basically spelling it out from her emails, her inconsistencies throughout the years, basically the, really where she has not told the truth over the years, and it just keeps piling on and piling up, and they spelled it out with the various speakers that have come to the platform, so... I think Mr. Trump is going to focus in on his opponent. I think he's going to continue to run the campaign, Make America Great Again. He does have a very positive message that's resonating with blue-collar conservatives, for instance, on trade issues and putting America back to work. That's one of the themes that you've heard during this convention. You've also talked about security of America. And very strong messages on Tuesday night about America's security and defense of our allies, and especially Israel. So there's been some great messages that have come out of this convention. Jerry, one of the things that with the elephant in the room here, of course, is the establishment. Now, of course, Speaker Paul Ryan was here, Bob Dole, of course. He's actually chided others, we referenced earlier in the program, for not being here, like Jeb Bush and some of the others who ran against him, that they should be rallying with the cause, because he is the nominee. He won the most votes. He went up over the top. There's no question, no contested convention, not any close, because he basically, all the way to California, just kept racking up the needed delegates for the nomination. He did it fair and square.
Well, and the other thing, that I think is really critical here is that, the professional politicians in the GOP have got to understand that the established leaders, I go back to Phyllis Schlafly's book in the 60s, a choice, not an echo, a Democratic light, running on Tea Party themes, and then, John Boehner and Mitch McConnell getting to Washington saying, oh, we never really meant would repeal Obamacare. So voters feel they were lied to or cheated. And that's not what the GOP stands for. It's not about electing politicians who refuse to cast or fight with Barack Obama. And I think you're going to find Donald Trump is threatening to career politicians, but I'm pleased he's threatening them, because we need to shake up the establishment GOP in Washington and have them listen to the people of the country who are tired of the socialism and the godlessness of Obama and Hillary Clinton. The lies, cheating. I mean, I think Donald Trump's going to drive the message home with lying, crooked Hillary, and contrast that to the theme of no more free trade deals that are unfair to America, no more open border for criminals and terrorists to walk across, and, no more losing a job to foreign countries that don't play by the rules. Donald Trump can have some very strong messages to drive home in the remainder of this campaign.
Well, Well, that's a message that's resonating with a lot of union members who traditionally vote Democrat, but I think they're, if Ronald Reagan has blue-collar conservatives, Mr. Trump seems to have his blue-collar conservatives. We're hearing, even right here in the battleground state of Ohio, that individual union members are supporting him. They like his trade issues, that he wants to get rid of NAFTA. He wants to redo some of these so-called free trade deals. Like you said, when you have currency manipulation, where you have the other players, as it were, China and some of the other trade partners aren't dealing with the full deck, it's not really what you'd call free trade. So let's get rid of that notion right there. So I think that's resonating with people because all they see is that the jobs leave and, the communities are empty. And, in fact, if you look in the inner city, the unemployment rate is double. In fact, Mr. Obama, when he came in campaigning that he was going to deal with poverty. Well, poverty's actually doubled in the last 7 years. In addition to that, there are 47 million Americans on food stamps. There's something wrong with that picture, Jerry.
Well, and exactly. And the 97 million Americans out of the labor force, this is a disaster. I'm finding this convention, I've attended many, and the enthusiasm and the excitement for Donald Trump as a new face, business initiative, going after the Clintons with their scandals. I my book, Partners in Crime, I'm saying outright these are two criminals. They violated laws. They get excused because they're famous and rich. Well, they got rich stealing money out of the foundation. Hillary and Bill Clinton have never had a job. The foundation's been their source of income. How do they each get $100 million? Well, it's not just through the speaking fees. It's through raking money out of that Clinton Foundation to their financial benefit. And I show in the book where they also get little side deals on stock options and the like for the companies that donate the Clinton Foundation that are never disclosed. And, where they do get found out, then the Clintons admit they have these stock options and have no explanation except that they're criminals as to why they tried to hide that information. A pass-through account, WJC LLC, which is the initials, William J. Clinton, created with a bank account that's a pass-through. They can move money from the foundation into the personal accounts, and it's the same thing money drug cartel money launderers do.
Well, there are some very serious issues that never got really brought to the forefront when the FBI suspended its investigation a few weeks ago. And, of course, the country was watching that as that unfolded. We're about out of time here. Jerry, real quick, give us an update on the book, when it will be released, and we'll have you back on the program to talk about it at length. When's the book coming out?
The book is coming out. It's on Amazon now. I think Amazon is shipping it already. And Partners in Crime, and Jerome Corsi, C-O-R-S-I. And, of course, we'll be in the bookstores on the 7th. Of August, so it's out there and it's going to be available in the bookstores. And Chris, it was a great pleasure being with you at the in the RNC Hall last night. I sure enjoyed getting around and saying hello to Jim Martin, a great friend of both of us from 60 plus. That was a real kick up in the vice chairman's box.
Yes,
it was fun going around. It was great fun, and seeing so many old friends and good friends and making new friends here at the convention. It's been really exciting to be here in Cleveland.
Well, thank you, Jerry, for stopping by. We appreciate you doing that. We'll have you back on to talk at length about the book, Partners in Crime, Dr. Jerome Corsi. Thank you, Jerry.
Great pleasure. Thank you very much, Chris. And it was a great pleasure meeting your son last night, too. He's a great young man. You should be very proud of him, and I'm sure you are.
We are indeed. Thank you so much. Again, that's our good friend Jerome Corsi, who is an author, and you're going to hear more about his book, Partners in Crime, about the Clintons and their corruption scandal through the foundation. It's a groundbreaking book, and you'll be hearing more about that. We'll have Jerry back on a future program to talk about it at length. Again, we've been reporting from the RNC convention. We hope that you've enjoyed this. Stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back on the other side to talk about the evangelical outreach, the spiritual outreach around the RNC convention. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This program is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back, and tonight we're talking about the evangelical outreach that's going to be around the RNC convention. And now, as we've heard Pastor Al, it's going to be bathed in prayer on Saturday.
That's
with
right.
the response gathering at the Wolstein Center. And it was great to have Doug Stringer on talking about the prayer gathering, as really thousands of people will be coming to praying for our country and praying for the city of Cleveland. With us on the phone is Pastor Kevin Folger of Cleveland Baptist Church, and they have an exciting outreach, and they're sending teams of people to the streets of Cleveland to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also with us is Pastor Mike Booker from Calvary Chapel here in Cleveland, and they're going to be doing similar. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Well, it's good to talk to
Thanks
you.
For having
this is Kevin
it.
Folger.
Well, Pastor Folger, what did we have planned? Is teams of evangelists will be going out sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, as the Bible says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's what we were praying yesterday as we were walking the streets. And, you know, it looks like your evangelistic work is going to be bathed in prayer, which is a great way to seed for the gospel. Share with us what you have planned.
Well, began thinking probably 6-8 months ago about the tremendous opportunity of thousands of people, outsiders, coming to Cleveland for the RNC. And, of course, heard about the media, but we really believed that it was an opportunity for our church and like-minded churches. So we got together with about 13 other independent Baptist churches throughout the Northeast Ohio region, and we just kind of brainstormed on what we could do. And so what we've decided to do is we have produced 20,000 copies of the Gospel of John and the Book of Romans from the New Testament. We've bound them with a cover that says How to Get to Heaven from the RNC. Mm-hmm. We also have another gospel track, and we put those all together, 20,000 of them, in little packages, little bags we can hand out to folks on the streets. And we've planned 3 strategic spots downtown Cleveland. But we're hoping, beginning on Monday all the way through Thursday, to be able to staff them with groups of people so that as folks pass by, we can hand them a package of material. On the backside, there's a website that says welcometocleveland.com, the list of the 13 churches that are working together. And, of course, there's a link there that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we also want to engage people as they're passing by. And if we can, obviously talk to them about their soul. On Monday night, we have secured from the city of Cleveland a permit to use the city hall steps from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, downtown Cleveland on Lakeside there. And these churches are gathering. They're hoping to have a large contingency of folks come together, sing some patriotic songs, let it reverberate down the streets of Cleveland, and to share some scripture passages. And, of course, they have a season of prayer together during that hour in which the RNC really is initially taking off downtown. We're just going to pray, of course, for the city, pray for God to give peace to our city in the midst of all the threats of disruption. We're going to pray that God does something very significant. And that's kind of our plan that we have right now.
Well, that's wonderful, Pastor. Again, we're talking to Pastor Kevin Folger of Cleveland Baptist Church and the evangelistic outreach that they have planned around the Cleveland RNC convention that's coming up. And folks, we encourage you to pray for these outreaches that will be going on this next week. What a wonderful opportunity as God's people realized that there would be tens of thousands of people visiting the city of Cleveland, in fact, international guests as well, that will be here. And what a wonderful opportunity to welcome to the city of Cleveland and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor Mike Booker, tell us what your church has planned.
Well, you know, it's neat to hear what Pastor Folger is doing. It seems like he and I have crossed paths on a lot of different outreaches, and it's interesting how the Lord, the Holy Spirit, moves people in the same way. It's definitely the same Spirit. What we're planning is very similar to what he has planned. You know, we've thought about it for a long time. And actually, recently, just this past weekend, we were involved with a Bill Glass Prison Ministry this weekend of Champions. It's a huge event where they go into, we went into seven different prisons in the state of Ohio. There was over 600 people prayed to accept the Lord last weekend in these prisons. And they have a very unique, very powerful evangelism training that goes into that. And so what we're going to do is Sunday night, 6 o'clock, we're actually going to have Jeff Aiton, who's actually the representative for Bill Glass Prison Ministries, he's going to lead an evangelism class, and we're going to do the exact same evangelism technique, you know, the same tracks, just sharing the gospel with God's word. We're going to take that then. On Monday, we'll meet at the church at 6 Cover Chapel, which is 709 Brook Park Road, and then we'll go downtown, and we're just going to let the Lord lead us. We're going to go where there's people, we're going to share the gospel, and then we're going to come back to the church at 10, and Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we're going to have 10 to midnight, we're going to have prayer, late night prayer each night for as this convention's going on. So we're gonna have evangelism training on Sunday, and then Monday and Tuesday at 6 o'clock, we're going to meet at the church, and we're going to go down. And then Wednesday, it's going to be kind of play by ear because, you know, I know the convention is a certain number of days, but who knows what's going to happen in the city. And, I mean, if things start coming unglued, you know, this may go on, you know, Thursday, Friday, who knows, and we're going to be led by the Lord. But our goal is just to be a light in the midst of the darkness. We're not going there with a political agenda. In fact, we have some T-shirts we're making up. It's going to say, Vote Jesus on the front, and on the back, it's basically going to say, you know, my people are called by my name, you know, humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face, I'll heal their land. And so it's basically the idea that the only hope for our nation is the Lord and the gospel. And so we just want to be a light in the darkness. And so Sunday, like I said, evangelism training, 6 o'clock, and then Monday, Tuesday, we'll go downtown, and then possibly Wednesday. And like I said, it may go Thursday and Friday, depending on what's happening. We'll just let the Lord lead us at that point.
Well, that's wonderful. Pastor Al, Jesus sent out the 70.
That's right.
And they went to the towns and villages, and they came back rejoicing and sharing the good things that had happened when they shared the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right. They were rejoicing because they saw what God did when they were willing to do and go where God sent them.
Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, it says all the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that's more joyful than to lead someone to Jesus.
Amen.
And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, if you've not had that opportunity, listen to what the evangelistic outreach, and these are just everyday folks. These are folks in the church that are going out. And at first, they might feel a little bit shy. They might even feel a little nervous. I remember the first time I went out the street witness. But, you know, it was just like Jesus said, we came back rejoicing. Now, there's some rules, of course. Don't go out alone. I learned that one even as a Bible school student. I was going to meet a friend of mine, and we were going to meet at Newark Courthouse. And Friday night, there was a lot of kids that would hang around there. And so he wasn't there yet, and I started witnessing. I'll tell you what, Pastor Kevin, I learned my lesson. You know, there was a man telling you, I think he had some spirits. He was a little deranged, and he started following me and heckling me. And the brother met me a little later. He said, "Brother, never start this alone," you know? So that was rule number one, because that's why Jesus sent him out two by two or more, because you have that power of agreement. And there's something spiritual about that in agreement. So we're not to go alone. And you're sending out the groups together, and there'll be wonderful things that will transpire. And that's why yesterday, Pastor Al and I were together. And of course, there were many people that were with us in spirit and prayed. And many people texted us and messaged us on Facebook, said, "I wish I could have been there." And we knew that many people couldn't go because they were working. But in fact, folks, if you are downtown and you're driving around, we encourage you to prayer drive. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you don't have to get out. You can actually pray while you're driving around. Keep your eyes open, of course, right, Pastor Kevin? Keep their eyes
absolutely
open. But you can drive around the streets of Cleveland and be praying for these evangelistic teams that are going to go out, and they're going to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, this is exciting. I really believe that God is going to do some wonderful things. And Pastor Kevin, share with us what it's like when the people come back and what they share when they've gone out on evangelistic outreach. What do they say?
Well, it's interesting. This week, I'm actually in Columbus, Ohio. We've got about 90 of our folks, some of them taking off work, a lot of them are teenagers, and we're down here doing an outreach for a local Baptist church. We're doing a program we call SMITE, which stands for Summer Missionary Intern Training for Evangelism. And we just finished in 8 parks and playgrounds and schoolyards throughout the west side of Columbus here, the northwest side of Columbus. The northeast side of Columbus. We just finished these SMITE programs. And I got to tell you, these kids pay to come. They sleep on a floor in the gym someplace, less than ideal conditions. And I'm telling you, Sunday night at our church, there will be rejoicing, because these kids have won children to Christ. They've won teenagers to Christ. They've seen God use their life. And that's really what the Christian life is all about. It's not a selfish idea that I'm living my life so that I can just die and go to heaven. It's I'm going to serve God while I'm here. And, you know, our church really is built on outreach. Every Sunday we run still buses into the inner city. We have about 13, 14 bus routes. And we pick up boys and girls, teenagers, men and women, bring them to church. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. All these folks are volunteers. We have about 65 workers that work those routes. And, you know, on Monday night we have Great Commission Night. We have about 150 people come out every Monday night just to evangelize and to do something to help the church fulfill the Great Commission. And there's just a joy. There's a joy in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus.
Pastor, thank you for what you're doing and going out into the highways and byways. And that bus ministry is so important. To go out there and to pick up the folks who can't get a ride to church, and sometimes there's kids who their parents wouldn't bring them. Thank you for what you're doing. I remember Akron Baptist Temple, of course, once boasted the largest Sunday school in America. And they had a tremendous fleet of buses, and they would go out. The ministry and the people that I talked to all over that city that said, "I went to Akron Baptist Temple, that's where I got saved." And without that, they would not have known Jesus. No one would have reached out to them. So thank you what you're doing there. God bless you and your people. That's wonderful. Pastor Booker, your folks have a heart for the Lord. They have a heart to reach the city for Jesus. Tell us what you're thinking, what you're anticipating.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When we had this prison ministry, we were fortunate to have this guest speaker. His name was Jack Murphy. He was known as Murph the Surf. He pulled the biggest jewelry heist in American history. And I'll be 79 years old, and it was like having the Apostle Paul here with us. And he shared, you know, amazing testimony how he was in absolute darkness, came to light. But from there, he started sharing his testimony and ministering in the prisons. And his parole date was the year 2244. But because he had such an impact on the prisons, that he ended up getting out in 1984. But when he shared, the most powerful part of his sharing was that when we're saved, the gospel, it's not just for us. Once the Lord saves us, He wants to work through us. And something he kept saying over and over that just impacted me was Jesus, you know, told us to go into all the world, that's everywhere we go, preach the gospel to every creature, that's everyone we meet. And he said, I will be with you. And when you do that, when you obey him, there is a tangible, real presence of Jesus moving through us. And the analogy Jack used was, you know, when he's talking to a microphone, the microphone's not doing anything to a power source. And as we are willing vessels, the power is the Holy Spirit taking the gospel through us. And when you experience that, it's very real. It's very tangible. There is a joy and a life. And like Pastor Folger was talking about, the young people being excited. The group that went to the prison this past week, they are so lit up and so filled with joy and life. It's like they can't wait to get out there again. And I mean, they were reaching, you know, the worst of the worst. And they saw, like you said, last weekend, there was over 1,100 that turned to the Lord. 600 were for the first time, 500 were recommitments. But the part that got me excited was the ones who went and were the willing vessels. I've had this phrase for the last 5 years. Every single day, everywhere I go, every person I meet, in every way, meaning track, CD, or talking to them, evangelism. And there's no coincidences. If I meet you on an elevator, 30 seconds, you're going to get a track. If I got you on an airplane, I got you for 3 hours. You can't get away from me. And I had two people accept the Lord last year on an airplane. And once you experience, once you're willing, the power is in the gospel. It's not in us. And if you open your mouth, the Lord will use you. And again, like Pastor Folger shared, there's joy in that. There's nothing better in this life than experiencing that. And so I know the people, the hardest part is getting over the fear. Most people are afraid. They're not comfortable talking to strangers. And that's why I encourage people, come along. If you're not comfortable, be with people who are doing it. And then we'll come where God will have you step in faith and open your mouth. And again, the Lord will fill it. He'll give you the words, and it'll move through you. And once it happens one time, you'll never stop.
You know, there's a brother at our church. He was the Secret Service Director for Northern Ohio. And in 2012, he was the one that was setting up all the advance teams for security of President Obama and Mr. Romney at the time when the campaigns were coming through the battleground state of Ohio. He actually moved to Cleveland area because he said, well, I want to be able to be home every night and I want my kids to be in church. And they actually were going to a Medina First Baptist Church. We kind of blew his cover one Sunday morning, but he was close to retirement anyways. Smokey Everett is his name. He's got a great story of his first assignment on Reagan's ranch and how he met the president and as a young agent. But he was actually in line to be the next Secret Service director if he had just gone to Washington. But he said, no, I want to be in church every Sunday, and I want to be home every night. My family's so important to me. And he retired right here in Cleveland. You know, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Mike, Pastor Al, I've never heard him talk so excitingly as he just talked to me the other day on the phone. I invited him to come down and pray with us. He said, I've got to be with my daughter. She's going to the dentist, to root canal and all that. But he started sharing with me about going to the prisons and through an outreach of our church. I've never heard him so excited about anything as he was about being able to share Jesus with those inmates. And folks, if you're listening tonight and the Lord's just prompting you for several things. One is to join us on Saturday for the prayer meeting at the Response at the Wolstein Center as we'll be praying and really bathing this city in prayer, praying for peace over the city of Cleveland. And then as these men and women of God, they go out and they share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, these are just everyday folks in the church. But you know what? They're going to be armed with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's going to bring wonderful things to bear, Pastor Al.
That's absolutely right. And we need to trust God. You know, I was impressed one thing when we were walking around the city, we were talking about some people having reservations about going, you know, will it be safe? And I've had people ask me that at our church and even on our radio programs, would it be safe? And we were talking and I said, you know, look at all these people that are going to be here, the delegates, the people that are associated, the media presence and everything. These people are willing to come there trusting that they'll be safe for a secular reason. Why shouldn't we as Christians who have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our hearts.
Amen.
With us every step of the way, sending his angels as ministering spirits to the heir of salvation. Why shouldn't we feel safe when we're where God wants us to be? And I remember thinking that all these people, most of them, you know, maybe I'm unsaved, willing to be down there. They know about the stories about planned disruptions and things, but they're willing to be there for a cause they believe in. We've got an eternal cause.
Amen to that.
We ought to be willing to be there too, Amen. At least in spirit, if nothing else.
That's right. And you can join with us. If you can't be with us down for the prayer or down for the evangelistic outreach, you be praying. You pray this whole week. This is your assignment that God's given to you. You pray and intercede for peace over the city of Cleveland. Pastor Folger, would you lead us in a word of prayer, sir, over the evangelistic outreach of the city of Cleveland during the RNC week?
Sure. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we realize that we're very blessed, Lord, to have come into a relationship with you because someone shared the gospel with us. Lord, all of us who are saved, we have a testimony of the fact that we were someplace where someone either witnessed to us or someone invited us to a service where we heard the gospel, and the gospel in its powerful form, Lord, spoke to our hearts, and Lord, we repented and put our faith and trust in Christ. Lord, we know that we have hundreds and thousands of people coming to our city next week, and there's an opportunity, Lord, to be able to be a light in the darkness. Lord, we realize there's no political party that's going to fix America.
That's right.
Lord, we realize the only thing that will fix America is a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, I do pray that you'd help us. I pray for every person that will have a heart to be out on the streets and speaking to people about their souls. Lord, we do pray for boldness. We pray for a hedge of protection. We pray for our city. We pray for our men and women who wear the uniforms, Lord, who will be there, putting their lives on the line every day, that you'll keep them safe. But Lord, would you help us to be effective next week? I pray that the princes and principalities of darkness would be held at bay. Lord, we know they want to descend upon our city and to wreak havoc, but I pray, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit
Amen.
To permeate and to empower, and Lord, that we would see a great moving of God's Spirit next week, not because it's the RNC, but because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ
Amen. That
impacts souls. Father, I pray again for your blessings, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be a part of it. And I pray, Father, again, that we would see and know that God has done something very significant next week in the city of Cleveland because of the outreaches that are done. I pray for the prayer event this coming Saturday, and Lord, next week, every day, Lord, that you just, again, empower and give us what we need. We pray for strength. We pray for Lord, your grace. And, Lord, we, again, pray for protection. But we ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Kevin. So much appreciate you. Pastor Mike, God bless you both. Thank you for your outreach to our city next week, and we'll be praying for all the teams going forward. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much. God bless you.
You're welcome.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back on the other side with some closing thoughts with Pastor Al. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back. You're listening to News in Focus, and it was so wonderful to have Pastor Kevin Folger of Cleveland Baptist Church, Pastor Mike Booker of Calvary Chapel of Cleveland, and with me in studio from the Richfield Baptist Church is Pastor Al, and many of you hear his programs on Friday and Sunday night. What are the times of the broadcast?
Well, we're every Friday right here on AM 1220, The Word, from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and then every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight. That's why it's Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And I believe you're going to be with me at least for a little while on Friday afternoon in our 1:30 to 2 o'clock program.
I look forward to that. In fact, I'll be at the CNP meetings here in Cleveland. That's the Council on National Policy. They normally meet in Washington, D.C. or other cities across the country, but because of the RNC convention, they're meeting this week on Thursday and Friday. It's a gathering of business leaders, political leaders, and religious leaders. They talk policy And more of kind of a get-together. I was invited 4 years ago this time. It's in Cleveland. I was extended an invitation by Roger Beckett of the Ashland University Ashbrook Center. So I'll be his guest for the a few days there at the CNP. Looking forward to that. There's also some other gatherings, of course, and let's go over the list, of course. Evangelistic outreach, which we talked about this hour with Pastor Folger and Pastor Booker and Pastor Al. Also, the prayer gathering on Saturday at the Wolstein Center, and that's at Cleveland State University, starting at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's free and open to the public. I think you just pay for parking, which is a minimal fee, I think, there at the parking garage. And tell a friend, and you can register, and going to the Response USA in Cleveland. If you Google that, you should be able to get there. Pastor Al, you have your outreach as well. Tell us about your Sunday service, of course, at the Richfield Baptist Church.
Well, we actually meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and it's kind of unique. We found out this past week that the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal Press Corps is going to be in our building. That's what they book. So I told everybody, bring your guns and Bibles and cling to them as you walk through the lobby. Well, no, not seriously, but so we're looking forward to that.
Well, you may be on the front page of the paper there. Well, again, Pastor Al, thank you for joining me for this roundtable. Again, this is a very exciting time for the city of Cleveland and with the RNC convention, all the folks that are coming in. And folks, we want you to pray. We want you to pray for the city of Cleveland. We want you to pray for peace. And just what Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And you know, in this time of so much trouble in our world, we can turn to Jesus, and therein is where we find our peace, and there's the answer of God. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thanks, Pastor Al.
Thank you.
God bless. We'll see you next week, folks. God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.